Good morning, family. What another gorgeous day we've been blessed with today. I hope you're feeling a little tropical this week. I had to kind of watch my step. I didn't step in the fire over there, you know, when it was coming through. Well, we're excited about our vacation Bible school this week, as you can tell. And, you know, I look out amongst our members here, and we have some hard workers here. And we appreciate the talents that we have, people that can do this kind of stuff here and decorate our stage the way it is, and our teachers that are getting their classes ready for vacation Bible school. We encourage you to be present. We will have adult classes during the week as well. We begin on Thursday night and conclude on Saturday night. So we encourage you to come out and be a part of our vacation Bible school, even if you are a little bit older. And for our parents today, we're going to remind you that we are again registering and really pre-registering our own kids. So please help us with that as you're going out after worship. You'll see off to the left, you'll see a little table there where you can register your kids ahead of time. That will help us get a good start on VBS. I do want to point out one more thing this morning. We are blessed today to have yet another person place membership with us and become part of the work here at Southwest. We want Francisco Ramirez to stand, if he would, right there in the back. You'll see him. Welcome him to the family. He has his family with him, his father and mother and brothers and sisters that are with us from Long Beach, California, my place of birth and where I was raised. So it's good to have them with us here this week or today as well. I would encourage you this morning to have your Bibles open to Galatians chapter 6, if you will. As I mentioned, we do have some tremendous workers here today. I couldn't find a picture with all of you in it, so I chose this particular picture. Sorry, Bill and Doris, probably thinking, I wish it had been somebody else, right? Well, actually, it's a pretty good picture if you think about it. But I wanted to kind of highlight the smiles and the enthusiasm behind the kind of work that you see right here at the Southwest Church of Christ. Again, folks that are helping put together a fabulous VBS week that we're going to have this week, and others that are oftentimes doing things behind the scenes that just amaze us and allows the work to continue and allows people to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior through your work here with the Southwest Church of Christ. I wish I had the time to go into every name, every detail, every work that is done to show how much I appreciate each of you here this morning. A high percentage of you are here at almost every opportunity. Your hand is to the plow. You're doing the work of the Lord. A very active congregation, and it is certainly appreciated by the leadership of the congregation here. There are several positive things that are going on here at the Southwest Church of Christ, and I would have to say that it is definitely exciting to be a part of this. As it is with any good thing that we try to accomplish, there will always be for us unique challenges that we face and obstacles that get in the way and sometimes cause us to get discouraged. While doing the Lord's work, there will be plenty of times when we are sometimes tempted to do less than our best, or admittedly, sometimes we're tempted to even give up, to quit, as we saw in our scripture reading earlier. So this morning I want to share with you a verse that I hope will encourage you, a verse that probably many of us are very familiar with, but I want to accentuate the idea here from our text that God wants us to continue to do the good that we're doing and to never give up. This is a verse that says a great deal about our ministry and our service. And again, I'll read the words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Galatia as well as the church here at Southwest. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season We shall reap if we do not lose heart. There are many things that are brought out in this passage, and I would like to just share a few of them with you this morning. I believe that we have to understand that there is a very real law at work in our world today, and that is, whatever you sow, you will also reap. It is a fact of life. And we will reap not only the things that we sow, but we will reap in kind what we have sown. If we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh, he says, reap corruption. But if we sow of the Spirit, then we'll reap of the Spirit everlasting life. But I want to focus primarily on verse 9 this morning, and how we are encouraged here to not lose heart, to not give up, to continue to do the good that we do, to not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. What I want to present to you this morning, 4 points from this text and from other texts in the Bible, is this idea of while doing good, we need to understand that there is a problem. There will be times when we will grow weary. There's also a privilege in this because we're not just doing something, he says, we're doing good. And then thirdly, he talks about the fact of that there are seasons. And he says there is a due season that we will reap. And we'll talk about the patience involved in that. And then finally, our fourth point this morning, we'll be talking about the promise. The greatest part of it is that we will reap. We shall reap, he says. So the problem, the privilege, the patience, and the promise from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. We begin with the problem. That is the problem of growing weary. Let's be realistic about this. We understand that in doing anything, there is a danger for us to grow weary. We have to be realistic about that. We, in fact, here at the Southwest Church of Christ, we are relatively a small congregation. We are not exploding numerically with members every single week. We are glad for those that place membership, those who obey the gospel, and those who are added to our number. But let's be honest, we don't have this building full with everybody in every seat that's here. We have to be realistic about that. In fact, we are sometimes losing some. And as we look at our congregation here, again, let's be realistic. Look out at our crowd today. You don't see a whole lot of young people here. That's not a big problem, but that is something we have to be real about, is that the average age here is about 50 and up. And so that is something else we must be really realistic about. There are reasons, from a human viewpoint, for us to grow weary. And I would be dishonest with you if I said that I personally never thought about these things. These are things that come to mind. I'm very realistic about this. Being realistic about these problems is actually not a sin. I want to take a page out of the life of Jesus to show you this, because though Jesus was very optimistic about life, he was also realistic when he encountered human beings and the tendency that they had to be fickle at times, to be faithless at times. And he was very real about that. And so there was a man that came to him. I'll read it. It says in Luke chapter 9 and verse 38, a man came from the crowd and he cried out saying, "Teacher, I beg you, look on my son, for he is my only child." And the text says, "Behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out." He's talking about his son. "He convulses him, and so that he foams at the mouth, and bruising him, it departs from him with great difficulty." Put yourself in this man's sandals. This is his only son, and he has been tortured. He has been tormented every day, even getting bruises through all of this convulsion of the spirit, these spirits that are inside of him. And so he expresses that to Jesus. And then he says to Jesus in verse 40, he says, "And so I begged your disciples to cast it out, cast the spirit out." He says, "But they could not." Then Jesus answered and he said, I don't know what expression Jesus had on his face. He looked at this man and he said to his disciples, he said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you?" And then he turns to the man and says, "Bring your son here." And so this man comes to Jesus and he even says, "Your disciples could not heal my son." And then Jesus says, the reality is we're living in a faithless generation, and that's something we must be realistic about. But I want to tell you this morning, though we get weary in doing the Lord's work, we must never grow weary of doing the Lord's work. We must never grow weary of doing good. It is something that we must remember. We sometimes get weary of the Lord's work, and when we do, we cease to be joyful servants. We cease to be grateful and thankful to God when we all that He's done for us, and then we say, "Lord, I don't think I can do any more for You." That is a tragic thing that sometimes happens to the servants of God. You see, the kind of weariness, actually, though, that the Apostle Paul is talking about here, this weariness, is not a weariness necessarily physically of the body. Rather, instead, it is of the soul. He says here that it is a weariness of the heart. Therefore, he says, do not lose heart. Well, sometimes we lose strength in our bodies. We lose the ability to get up in the morning to do what we should do. We physically get tired, but what is worse than that is when we lose heart. This is a loss of excitement. This is a loss of enthusiasm. This is a ministry that is dull, that is lifeless, that is routine, that is that we sometimes feel is ineffective, and we begin, he says, to lose heart. And we can begin to feel that way at times. But even though we may feel that way at times, we must not give in to those feelings. We must not surrender to the devil and allow him to cause us to be discouraged in heart. If we keep reminding ourselves that it is indeed a privilege to serve the Lord, then we're not likely to grow weary while doing good. We will know that in heart, when we do get weary or are tempted to get weary, that in the long run, it is worth it. It is something that we are doing that is good. And so that's where I want to move now to our second point. And that is not just the problem of growing weary, but the privilege of doing good. This is really what the Christian life is all about. It's about doing good. Jesus Himself, the Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, Jesus went about doing good. That's what He wanted to do. He wanted to make an impression. He wanted to do something that was worthwhile. And so He did the things that are good. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 that we are to follow in His steps. And so if you want to pattern yourself after someone, it is Jesus Christ, one who went about doing good. And when you follow in His steps and when you're doing good, you're doing something that is worthwhile. Jesus Himself would tell you, right now, He's sitting at the right hand of God. He is with God in eternity. And if you follow those steps, that's where you will be one day as well, with God in eternity. But doing good is God's fundamental purpose for us. I want to read to you a few passages from the second chapter of the book of Ephesians that will tell you God's design for us, that God's plan for us, His ultimate goal and why He created us. The Apostle Paul, writing to these saints in Ephesians, at Ephesus, in chapter 2 and verse 1, he reminds them of their former condition. He says, "You were once dead in your trespasses and sins, in which," he says, "you once walked according to the ways of this world." And then he gives a contrast. He says, "But," he says, "God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, that's the way it was, He said He has made us alive together in Christ. Now, God took those of us who were dead, and He made us alive in Christ. What was His end game? What was the result? What did He want from that? Well, go later in the passage in Ephesians chapter 2, down to verse 8, and Paul says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Here's what God had in mind. He says, "For we are His workmanship, created, really recreated, in Christ Jesus for what?" That's why God recreated us in Christ Jesus for good works. He says, "Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so again, that was God's purpose for us. Doing good, though, is not simply a matter of duty. It is a divine privilege that we get to do good for the ultimate good one, the perfect one, our Creator, in heaven. We get to be on His team. We get to be a part of something that makes a difference. Doing good is a very, very profitable thing. And this will often, however, lead to weariness. Christian service is a wonderful opportunity, however, to become part of God's divine plan. You get to team up with Him. There are people today, and I'm not going to say that it's all bad in Hollywood, but there are people who are in Hollywood who are doing things for Hollywood. That's their business. Some of it is good. Some of it is even spiritual. A lot of it is not. So we either can work for Hollywood or we can work for heaven. We get a choice. We get a privilege to work for heaven, something that is long-lasting. It is through God's written word, His plan on paper, the pages of Scripture, that we get to get in on that divine plan. But it's through the lives of those doing good that His plan becomes a reality. And He's given us the privilege of living out His plan, His game plan for planet Earth. And so we need to remind ourselves of this privilege so we can guard against growing weary. My third point this morning, after we've talked about the problem, growing weary, we've talked about the privilege, doing good, then there is this thing called in due season. That is, patience is part of this process. In due season. This, of course, is a farming concept. And if there's anyone who knows how important it is to be patient, it is the farmer. That is a very good illustration. We need to stay on the job like farmers do. They stay on the job. If you aren't willing to plow, then you should not expect to see a harvest. That's how simple this is. The farmer, he does a lot of work before he gets results. He decides that he's going to, first of all, prepare the soil. Then he sows the seed, then he pulls some weeds, and then he waters his plants, then he maybe pulls some more weeds, and then eventually what he does is he sits back and he waits. And even while he's waiting, he's doing other things that maybe he couldn't do when it was that due season to be a part of all that plowing and planting and all of that. There are things that he's doing in due season, but ultimately he waits. But do you know something? I want to tell you something. A farmer actually has no guaranteed harvest. Did you know that? A farmer can do all the things right, and some natural disaster, whatever it is, some catastrophe, could wipe out to where he would have no crop at all. And so he has no guaranteed harvest. But the Christian worker does have a guaranteed harvest. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But a successful harvest depends on this thing we call patience. We must be patient. There are seasons in the Lord's work. There are times for plowing. There are times for planting. There are times for weeding. There's time for watering. And then there's time for the reaping. The seasons come due. And why do they come due? Because they are scheduled by the divine scheduler, God Himself. Everything is on a schedule that He knows about, that He's in control of, and there will be a due season. That's what we are guaranteed of. The due season may not be during a time in your life of revival, or during a time after revival, or whatever it might. It might not be until that day when Jesus comes to take us home. We may have to wait that long. Jesus once told a parable about harvesting, and he says the harvest in Matthew 13:39. He says the harvest is the end of the age. We might have to wait that long. We may not see the results of our labors for a year, 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is. But we will see a harvest. We will see the end, a reaping at the end. So, again, let's not grow weary while doing good. Can I tell you today, when it's time to quit? You know, right? Already. When is it time to quit? Never. It's always too soon to quit. And that's why I want to bring you to our last point this morning. I want to talk about the promise. The promise is very simple. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it, no ambiguity about it. He says, we shall reap. Very clear, we shall reap. Again, the farmer, you see, he has no guaranteed harvest, but we have this guarantee, we shall reap. In our labors for the Lord, I want to tell you today, there will be no crop failure. You can be sure of that. There will be no crop failure at all. But we have to continue to try our best to do the good. A recent study was done that showed that people who go fishing catch more fish than people who don't go fishing. There will be a harvest, but we've got to get out there and put the pole in the water. We've got to put our hand to the plow. We've got to put seed in the soil. We've got to do our part, and God guarantees that He will do His part. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, he says, therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Do you believe that promise from God's Word today? That while you're doing good, while you're maybe this week be teaching a vacation Bible school class, while you're serving as an elder of this congregation or a deacon or what, part of the ministry here, or just serving as a Christian, serving others during the week, whatever you're doing, you are doing good. You're doing good. Now, there'll be times when you might be tempted to grow weary, but you're doing good. And there will be a due season, and you will reap if you do not lose heart. The problem is that we do grow weary, but the privilege is we're doing good. And the patience is that we must wait for that due season. And finally, we have that promise that we shall reap. As we close this morning, what will you do for the Lord this week? And what will you continue to do for the Lord? And what will you do knowing that if you do not lose heart and you wait for that due season, you will reap? Will you continue to do the good? You know, I got to tell you something this morning. I believe here at the Southwest Church of Christ that we're on the verge of something big. I really believe that with all my heart. I believe that we're on the verge of something really big for the Lord. Whatever that might be, whatever He decides it's going to be, I believe that we're on the verge of something really big. But we've got to keep our hand to the plow. We've got to keep our fishing pole in the water. We've got to continue to do good while doing good, to not lose heart. If you're encouraged this morning by this sermon in such a way that maybe you're here today and you are not a child of God, you've not decided to become new in Christ Jesus, we're praying that you will make a decision today to obey the gospel. Maybe you've heard the gospel, the fact that Jesus died for you, He was buried, and He rose again. If you believe that today, If you're willing to commit yourself to repenting of your sins and then being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins this morning, we're going to invite you to do that right now. Or if as a child of God, you've drifted away from the Lord, you need to come back, you need to put your hand back to the plow, then we encourage you to respond as well as we stand to sing. What?